Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, we'd like to have you join us in devotion as we start with song, scripture, and prayer. And tonight, as we listen to the song for the evening, we're going to have the song by, do you want Vicky Yohe or Adams? By Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart.
Oh,
Amen. Our text is Galatians 5, 13 through 26. And I'd like to read from the Message, and we can read from another translation later on. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a simple sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't see the compassion of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-documented, dominated existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, and impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided. Pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rivet, to a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you. You know, if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in a loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Amen. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? God, we come before you right now, and we are asking that you would lead, God, and direct us. Lord, this is your Bible study. We're coming to sit at your feet and to learn from your word. Help us to move away from anything that might look like legalism. Help us to long and to search and to crave freedom, such that we will not choose our way but your way. Lord, let this Bible study teach us, be rooted and grounded in our hearts so that we operate according to the word. Not because we have to, but because we love you. We ask these things tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Lord, have your way and your will. Amen.
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 As we are beginning our Bible study tonight, we are covering for the month of April the theme, the fruit of the Spirit. And we are, again, asking questions throughout the month is, why do we have spiritual gifts was last week. And this week we are working and focusing on what are the gifts of the Spirit so that we can operate in freedom. What are the gifts of the Spirit? And as we do so, Dr. Nix has given us some really good questions to look at. And we'll be looking at James 3:13 through 18 and Matthew 3:8 through 12, maybe Luke 3:8 through 9. And just to get you heads up, so if you want to pull those scriptures up and be ready as we go through it, James 3:13 through 18, Matthew 3:8 through 12, and Luke 3:8 through 9 will be the first couple of three scriptures we'll be looking at. And as we start, we ask that the listeners, if you're interested, and those of you who are in the studio, not put your phones and on the speakerphone. That creates backfeed. But if you will put your phones on mute when you're not talking, and take them, don't forget to take them off when you get ready to talk. Other than that, Dr. Nix, if you are ready for a roll call and ready to get started, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I think I heard Brian and heard Dr. Susie and I'm on. Do we? Brian from Maine. Do we have any other? Anybody else? And I know sometimes people are on and they don't want to share their name or participate, but they can listen. And we welcome you being online with us. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit this evening. And what really drove me to talk about this and share this with you is our divided country. And seems like retribution attacks. And I just look at the text here, Galatians 5, and I look at how we react to so many mean things that are going. We have mean people in this world, and I'm amazed how badly we treat each other. And I don't think, I know God would not be pleased That's what goes on. But when you are around mean people, you want to do something to stop them. And sometimes,
well,
you feel like you need to be mean to stop the meanness. I mean, because like in the case of slavery, you know, our race, people wanted to wipe us off the face of the earth, really. And so it's like a genocide. So, I mean, the cruelty is beyond imagination, how people were treated. And now we have people that are in slavery all over the world, even today, and even here in the United States. So how do you react to cruelty? And I have a short story I'd like to share with you, and I'd like to hear from Brian and Dr. Susie. Maybe they have stories also. But when I worked as an engineer for many years, I was passionate at the same time, but I worked for a man that was me. And he had a person, one of my peers, that had a part of the organization, was also me. And he would come in and brag about the fact and laugh at a person that worked for him because he took the man's wife from him. And the man worked for him. And he would come in and brag about it. And the guy that was our boss wouldn't say anything about it and kind of laugh. And then they tried to fire a man that worked for me that was running the wastewater treatment plant. And I told him, no, you won't fire him. You can't do that. And I'm telling my boss this. And he didn't fire him. But when I moved to another job, they actually moved that man to another position. And I think he was driven out by somebody else. So he was trying to fire somebody for nothing, just because he didn't like him. And then they also sat and they said, I'm going to mess with this man's mind, and I'm going to drive him crazy. And this man was a friend of mine. And so they plotted for months to attack this man, and then he had a nervous breakdown and was off of work for months as a result of these people attacking him. And I fought this man, these two men, for probably a year. I mean, verbally, and I mean, I was just angry when I come to work, and all throughout the day, I mean, the stuff they were doing was just ridiculous. And I was in many situations like this, and I was pastoring at the same time, and I decided one day, you know, through the scriptures, I'm going to pray for them. You know, we're commanded to pray for our enemies, and even those who despitefully use us, you know, or love those who despitefully use us. So I prayed for them, and I didn't fight them anymore for about 6 months. I did stop them from firing that one man, but I didn't fight them like I was fighting them before every day, arguing with them. And in 6 months, the man that was my boss was moved because he got ill. And then the other man that took the man's wife was moved also. So both of them were moved out of the situation. But as long as I was fighting, they stayed there and continued to mess with and hurt people. And I just share that story because I try to apply the fruits of the Spirit, love and kindness, and even in the midst of meanness and evil. And it worked. And I don't know. It seems like sometimes we don't get anywhere in standing up against evil that's all around. But in that particular case, it did work. The people were moved. Things changed. The man came back to work off of a nervous breakdown. He stayed till he retired. So God worked that out. And we have situations like this that are happening all around us every day in our jobs, in the churches, in our families. You know, how do you apply the fruits of the Spirit in the midst of so much evilness and wickedness. Dr. Susie and Brian, anybody else that's online, if you want to share a story or share with our people that will be listening in some wisdom on how they might deal with this, because I know people are dealing with all this all the time, and they wonder, well, what's good? What good is it to go to church? What good is it to pray? God's not doing me any good. You know, I can go ahead and deal with this myself, you know. Yes.
This is Chaplain Susie. Yes. Would you please review the gifts of the Spirit so they know exactly what we're talking about using?
Yes, I will. I'm gonna go to the Revised Standard Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'll repeat that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits, or the fruit of the Spirit, as Pastor pointed out last week. Sometimes all of these are contained under the fruit of the Spirit. So you'll actually, in this text, it's called the fruit of the Spirit is love. Instead of saying the fruits of the Spirit, it just says the fruit of the Spirit. But it lists different things.
Amen. This Chaplain Susie, who do we have on the line tonight? I think we have Brian from Maine. We've got Brett. Brett, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing better.
Oh, good to hear that. But no, you're not down still and sick like the rest of us have been sick, huh?
No, I just strained my vocal cords more so than I have in the past.
Okay. Well, do you know a situation that you want to share, Brett, about how you experienced the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit?
Oh, I've had many challenges when it comes to that. The latest one was when my son got carjacked. And see, I've always been one of those type people that if you do something to my family, hey, I'll die to revenge that. But my son reminded me when I got to his house, he said, "No, Daddy, you can't do that. You keep telling me that, you know, you got to start doing things a Christian way." He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "I got it handled." And so that stopped me. And it surprised me that he had been listening to me. And so I know that at that point, I said, "Let us pray on this situation." And that's what we did. And sure enough, that situation was handled. But sometimes you got to stop, because I've always been the type of person, hey, you do something to one of mine, hey, you got to pay. So... yeah, but I remember that.
Go ahead. But what you're saying is you recognize that that's not using the fruit. That's what you're saying.
Right.
And that there's another way
right.
that you learn to use. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
This is
okay.
Brian from Maine. This is Brian from Maine.
Go ahead, Brian.
I've had the blessing through my career of being able to experience how to deal with this topic through an extensive six-month men's study that we did, a men's Bible study, and also having over 600 customer sites in my consulting practice where I had a chance to work with thousands of people. Sometimes very closely. I think I can categorize it into two groups and therefore two scenarios. One, if we're working or talking or interacting with a human being who's just simply using his own faculties as a human being, then it's fairly easy to be kind, to be righteous, and to work to build friendships. Even if the person is a difficult person or is a mean person, it's usually fairly easy over the course of time, without going head-to-head with the person, to kind of open them up and help them to understand that you're not their enemy. So that's the first category, is people who are using their own mind or their own faculties to be mean. The second group, I would say, are people who are being tormented, taunted, and even maybe guided or led by evil spirits. People who have done significant evil in their lives, potentially people who are possessed by demons, or at least are, you know, have become a conduit where evil spirits can do their thing and do it effectively. Those people cannot be approached and cannot be kind of broken down over time or mellowed over time by just your human consciousness and your desire to be their friend or your desire to just be on neutral ground with them, because the force that's coming from them is too strong. In both instances, prayer and utilizing the fruit that comes from living a righteous life can make an incredible difference and can make all the difference. But in the second instance, it's the only hope, because if you're going up against evil or demons or conjurers, then you have to use prayer. You have to use your fruits and exercise them through prayer, and you have to use the sword of the word at the right time. Otherwise, the human being has no chance, really, against the second category.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Well, we thank you for that input. And I'm sure our listeners will be happy to hear your wisdom. Just a general question, you know, when we see all this division and strife and really, you know, people fighting and wanting people hurt, the question, you know, rises, you know, should we be different people and different people than the people that are fighting us, trying to hurt us? Should we, if we are have the fruits of the Spirit, should our lives be different than they used to be? Before
Amen.
We...
This is Dr. Susie.
Yes.
This is Dr. Susie. Dr. Nooks, you are 100% right. I know you asked the question should, but it was more like a rhetorical yes. God called us to a higher plane in the sense that where we started as a child with limited knowledge and accountability, that as we grow and mature, we're held accountable for a growth that's expected. But God is leading and guiding us through that, but is looking for the fruit, is looking for us to utilize the things that we've talked about as we went along the journey just this last couple of months, is using the sword and of the Spirit, using the, number one, the helmet of salvation. And when we put on our armor, which is what we've been talking about, then that fruit, which you described, should come forth. And as we're young, it may not be as strong, and it may be harder to obtain, but the longer we have this Christian walk, that fruit should be easier. It should become low-lying fruit, that which is easy to grasp and to use.
Amen.
As we age and mature in our walk with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I like that low-hanging fruit. And Dr. Susie, I think the more we practice and use that muscle of the fruit of the Spirit, I think the more we can call on it in time of need, and the more we can walk in it. And sometimes we need to be challenged to really call on that. It was a challenge for me to deal with those two men for years, you know. And I know that many of us have had challenges in our lives that really make us want to fight. Like Brad was saying, you mess with my family, you know, I'm going to get you. And I think that's the natural response of a lot of people. So but the more we exercise it, you know, I think that, go ahead, Dr. Susie, I'm sorry.
No, Dr. S, I just wanted to say, you know, and this is to the people out there listening in the radio land, is that, you know, we never stop being tempted. So no matter how
Amen.
Much you grow, don't think that the enemy is going to just let you slide by. You know, the more you trust in the Lord and try to lean and depend on God, the more he's going to challenge you and try you. I'm a perfect example. I've been walking on this road a long time, and it seems like the challenges get greater and greater, and as I go through, there are times when I feel like, you know, Lord, I'm tired. But I know that if I just keep trusting as I walk along, that the Lord will give me what I need, and that fruit comes forth. Sometimes people won't let you utilize that fruit, and I didn't think that was the case, but where I work, I encounter a guy who, when I first met him, he would let me talk to him as long as I didn't try to minister to him or be, you know, help him. And so he comes and disturbs a group that I have by playing loud music. He comes in and just does stuff specifically to try to push a button. And we try to ignore him, and he leaves. But, you know, I see him, and I go, hey, good morning. And he says the F you word, you know. And I'm like, you know, you can't be kind to some people. They won't let you. But the people who do have the Lord and the Holy Spirit who tries to move them to a paradigm shift, to move them from a place of, you know, lack of relationship to one that sees that, you know, you continually try to do what's right. You continually try to be a child of God and manifest yourself in ways that, you know, that would be characteristics of a Christian. And then they say, you know, wow, everything I'm doing to them, and they still trying to be nice to me. Some point in time that has to move people, you know. I would
Amen.
Think, you know, no, you don't know all the time. Hey, maybe not. But this guy that I was telling you about, like I said, the more I tried to be nice, the more he moved away. So I don't know.
Sometimes, Dr.
But
Susan,
it's still
it
our responsibility
people
to do what we can do. Go ahead.
It might be the people around him that are affected. If they see that you are still displaying the fruit of the Spirit in spite of the
Absolutely.
Way this person is acting, you can be, and it affects you. I know it affected me. Well, I was mad every day when I went to work, you know, and when I stopped doing that, stopped attacking him, then my life got better. You know, I had more peace and I had more joy in my life. So even though they might be acting crazy and that person is disturbing your class and disturbing the area there and giving you some, telling, you know, giving you harsh words, it affects you if you still try to treat him right and he doesn't treat you right. So I don't know what experience the rest of you've had, but that's been my experience.
Amen.
I want us to look at James 3:13 through 18, and then I want to stay with James after that in another text in James. But Can somebody get James 3, 13 through 18 for us? Somebody got a Bible?
It's Chaplain Sudi. I have it.
Okay.
But I have it through the message. Is there some other? Is this okay?
That's fine.
It says, do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throat. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced.
All right.
You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor.
Amen. Amen. And from the Revised Standard
Amen.
Version, where all those things that Dr. Susie was talking about, it's full of mercy and good fruits, you know, impartial and sincere. So the good fruits is in there in another translation. But share with us some thoughts, Dr. Susie, about what you got out of that and anyone else that wants to join in on the discussion.
Yeah, the New Living Translation says, but the wisdom from all is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. And so what this basically is saying to me is that as hard as it may be sometimes, the Michelle Obama thing was, let's take, you know, when they go low, you go high. Take the high road in life.
Yes.
Wisdom is being the good person. Wisdom is being covering your feet with the gospel of peace, being the peacemaker. Wisdom is the one who shuns the fighting and seeks ways to work together. That's what it's saying. Get away from self-interest. Get away from trying to further self and look at the spiritual way of showing mercy and love to people. And even though it's tough,
Amen.
Even though it may not seem like you're going to get a lot from it, it will reap a harvest of righteousness. And as you said, maybe that individual won't receive it, but others around and the person who's involved will benefit from that because they know they did the right thing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Seuss said it's tough. And Brett and Brian, what do you think about that? And you know, this is saying be peaceable and gentle, open to reason, and we don't find a lot of that around. And Dr. Seuss said it's tough. So you find that to be tough to be able to do this, to live this kind of way?
This is Brett.
Yes.
Verse 13 starts out, who is wise and understanding among you? Question mark. That is a question I've been asking. Who are the leaders in the black community today? because I don't hear anybody speaking up. And what we just read prior to coming into James, it says, love one another. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's something the black community used to do up until people start talking about they want to have equal rights. Equal rights is fine. I know a lot of black women when I was coming up had more equal rights then than what a lot of black women have today. It was about how to treat one another. It was about sharing what you had with others that didn't have. It was about the love of your neighbors in your community and your neighborhood that allowed you to prosper. See, when you get stingy and selfish and you want everything for yourself, then your well dries up. God isn't going to bless you. You're going to keep knocking your head against that door and wonder why that door won't open and why nobody's on the other side to open it for you. And you just don't understand. Or you can't understand why you can't move forward in your career. Why something always keeps holding you back is yourself. You don't have the love of God in you that God wants you to have. A lot of people today in the black community don't even love their mothers or fathers. They don't even love themselves. People quit going to church. That was the easiest thing to do because, hey, once you get a black person away from church, then they lose their foundation. They lose their footing. Like my dad used to say when he built a house, you can't build a house on sand. You got to have a firm foundation. And if your married life doesn't have a firm foundation, if the life that you are building for you and your kids don't have a firm foundation, if the job that you want to have does not start out with a foundation that is firm, what do you have? Nothing. Everything goes away. And people start losing things. Then they want to blame everybody else. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. If you are a Christian, if you are trying to live a Christian life, God has given us the tools. We just got to follow His directions. And nothing better says it than what we have right now. Left unshowed by their good life and deeds done in humanity comes from wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, you don't have anything else, and you're just going to be lost. You're going to keep doing the same things that you're doing and not getting ahead, not moving. And then you wonder why you lost your house, you lost your job, you lost your wife. Your kids don't want to speak to you anymore.
And this is what we're talking about here. It's really relationships and how we work and treat each other. Brian, did you have anything to say about this text? So we're going to go on to James 2, 14 through 26. And again, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit and how we ought to be different if we have these fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit ought to be in us when we are changed, and as we walk closer with God, the fruits of the Spirit ought to be coming out more. So let's read James 2:14 through 26. Has somebody got that for us? Brett or Brian, do you have that? I will read it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. And I, by my works, will show you my faith. If you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son of Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab, the prostitute, also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So, Brian, what do you think of that text there? What does that say to you about our message of fruits of the Spirit?
He's not on the line anymore. He's not on the line.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Dr. Susie or Brett, you have any thoughts on this text concerning the subject of fruits of the Spirit?
We've got to we've got to walk what we talk. We've got to demonstrate our love by accepting other people, but by responding to people positively, so that, like you said, others can see the evidence of faith in our lives and know that this is an active thing that we do. Love one another, be kind to one another. You know, we have to have our actions speak for us. And in doing so, that, like you said, it changes other people, Dr. Nooks, when others can see what we're trying to do, even though it's challenging. People have empathy and their faith profits not only that individual but other people. This is just another example of that, this scripture.
Amen.
Would you like me to read it again, or you got it? We have faith, we got to show it, you know?
Yeah.
We got to show it.
Amen.
And you know, we've been talking about demons, and I've been dealing with a lady who feels she's demon possessed. But we've been talking about demons for a long time, and the thing is this: when you know that they know that they need to be scared because God ain't playing, and yet we have a tendency of feeling as though they make us unsettled. But the God that we serve and the power that we have through our relationship with Jesus Christ, then we know that they're afraid of him, and he's our papa, he's our loved one. Hey, you know, we're on the Lord's side. They better look out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This text is really important, I think, to the church, because often I think people try to display a faith in God, like in the church, you know, oh, I have such faith in God, and if somebody comes in that looks different from them or poor or stinks or something like that, then they don't want them to come into the church. So, I mean, here, you know, you know, if somebody comes and they're hungry or naked, you know, and you just say, okay, well, get you some clothes and eat you something, and you don't do anything to try to help them, then what good is that? You know, so you can say you have faith, you can go to church, you can display like you believe in God, you can read the Bible, but if you don't help anybody, or you don't even try, or you don't love, then there's a gap there. There's something missing there. And that's what James is saying.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead. So how can you say you believe in God and God says you ought to love your brother, your sister, love one another, even your enemies, and all you can say is go get you some clothes and go down to McDonald's and get you a hamburger and don't give them any money or put a coat around them or something, a rag around them to help them if they're naked, then
amen.
What kind of display of love is that? I mean, what kind of, is that displaying the fruit of the Spirit?
Absolutely.
Brett, is
not.
That displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah.
I hear you.
But isn't that the way many of our churches act? And I say this because many of our listeners might be listening in and they might think, well, man, I'm not going to that church. You know, those people got their nose so high up in the air, there's nowhere in the world they're going to, you know, try to help me or even see me or notice me unless I come in and I'm stinking and dirty. Then they'll notice me and want to put me out. But there is a need to display faith, to have good works.
You know, Dr. Nooks, you know, I always think of Miss Eric, and I think about Eric often
yes.
talks about how he went into a church, and he was going to visit looking for a church home, and he sat on a pew. Never forget that. And he talked about how just sitting on the pew, this lady was rude to him because she was so concerned about her seat.
Yeah.
She wasn't concerned at all about the witness that she had in dealing with him because she was saying, you're in my seat, as if she owned
Amen.
The pew. And I
yes.
think sometimes people in church forget that this very text is telling us about how important our actions are and
yes.
how others see that. And for children, people out there who are children of the Lord, we have to be cognizant of what our actions look like. We have to care
Amen.
How it makes people feel and how it looks. And I know, you know, I mean, you just have to make that decision.
Amen. This is Brett. I think, people like that are pretend Christians. They go into the building that's called a church. They walk down. They do whatever they're supposed to do, whether they be an usher or singing in the choir or they're just sitting in a pew. They're just there going through the motions, but they're not really Christians because as a Christian, God and Jesus both said, come as you are. He wasn't playing about that because when he comes back, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you have on or don't have on or what you're doing, God's going to come and you're going to rise up in the air to meet him, and there is nothing you can do about it. Christians.
Because you won't rise up if you're not a Christian.
I understand
right?
that.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that these actions that we're talking about should not cause a problem for anybody, no matter who comes into your church home.
Yes.
Because first of all, if you're a true Christian, you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to pray and put on the whole armor of God. So what do you have to be afraid of? If you're afraid, that means that you are faking it. And you can't fake Christianity. You can't fake being a Christian. Either you put on the whole armor of God, open that door and step out and do what you have to do and serve God and do everything that you can to get a message to somebody, or else you just will stay home because you're faking.
So, Brother Brett, I got a question, though, for you. I got a question.
Sure.
What happens, remember when we did that whole series on the spiritual babe, the ones that just are one step over from being spiritually dead?
Right.
You got a spiritual infant. What happens
right.
if that person is an infant and they haven't had Bible study or church or, you know, and they are walking in the world and what they know because they haven't been taught? Are they not
Amen.
Christians?
No. Matter of fact, when we were talking about that, there was a scripture a little further down, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but it
mm-hmm.
talks about even if the person has just become a Christian, he's a saint, and God, he's under God's protection.
So
the thing is,
there are people who will make mistakes, though. So there are people who are ignorant. And because of their ignorance and their lack of training and teaching, may not know to put on the armor of God. What about
right.
those people?
But they're still under the protection of God. Simply because
okay.
they came down and they confessed with their mouth. Okay? And just like any babe, you have to learn how to do things. We didn't come out of our mother's womb and get up and start walking and running. We had to be taught
right.
how to get our balance. We had to be taught how to take that first step, and we were holding on to things. You know, a lot of us were holding on to our mother's aprons and stuff, for those of us that are old enough, they had mothers that stayed at home and cooked. But the thing is, we
right.
got our balance. Once we got our footing, hey, it was hard for them to catch us. And that's the same
yeah.
way it is with a Christian. When we first take on the responsibility of being a Christian, we say that, hey, I've sinned, I give my life to you, I want to do better, and you have been baptized and accepted into the fold. God's got you from
mm-hmm.
that point on. Can't nothing stop you except yourself. Go ahead.
I think what we're saying is that all of us, we're not all at the same point.
Right.
And some of us are different stages in our growth process. Yeah, and I believe once saved, always saved. But there are some of us that are still going to make some mistakes. We're still going to be maybe not displaying all the fruits of the Spirit. I don't think any of us display all the fruits of the Spirit all the time. But
there you go.
We need to be patient with each other, and we need to strive to try to understand ourselves and ask God for help in the areas where we find ourselves weak. But if we just walk around and think we're good and perfect and don't need any help, then we deceive ourselves.
Amen.
So we
Amen.
All need help.
So Dr. Nooks and Brother Britt, while you're on the line tonight, you know, this Bible study is so germane, specifically to me. I'm asking you guys to pray that in my job I can utilize and live into the very thing that we are talking about tonight. I need to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit in my walk. Not just because it's the right thing to do, which it is, but because I need to feel that I'm being obedient to God no matter what it is I'm faced with. And right
Amen.
Now I'm faced with a bunch of people who are challenging. And maybe that's the test. Sometimes we have a test to get a testimony. Sometimes we have a test
Amen.
So that God can take us to another place. And I'm being tested right now, and I need prayer so that I can pass my test. And I don't want to just pass the test to pass the test. I want it to become a part of my life so that it's part of what comes
Amen.
From me. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
right now, I feel I have to work at it. I mean, and I'm not, and you know, and Paul, as good as Paul was, you know, Paul talked about how at times we go through things and we feel like we waver, and it's not a good thing
Amen.
To be wavering. And I don't know that I'm wavering as much as I'm tired. And I'm tired because it seems like, you know, you heard James Cleveland always say, evil is always present, especially when you're trying to strive to serve the Lord. Evil is always present, trying
Amen.
To challenge you and make things hard for you. And so all I'm saying is that we know from these scriptures tonight that we should do good, that we should seek to make our actions known so that people want to operate and see and become what we claim that we are. But that's not going to happen unless we can live that out in a way that people are going, I want to be like that. I want to be different. And I've got people
Amen.
Around me daily that I don't know that my witness is strong enough or that the enemy is so strong in the place of where I am that the challenge is just so tough. But whichever it is, I just want to make sure that I'm victorious in what it is that God would have me do and that my fruit would be sweet-smelling enough,
Amen.
Visible enough, so that no matter what they do, whoever they is, people know whose side I'm on.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Susie, this is Brett. And I know the type of situation you're in. What I would advise this person that likes to start up and stir up the pot, one day if you get a chance, catch him and say, hey, let me buy you a coffee. And when you're sitting over coffee, just tell him, say, you know what, I pray for you because you coming against not me, but against the word of God. And I just pray that you don't stumble and fall down a flight of steps. And leave it at that, get up and go. That's all you got to do. Because what if I told you? God does not like people that are ugly. He always comes back and avenges those that have been persecuted because you're doing his work. God got this. All you need to do is let it go because it's not for you to fight. It is not for you to fight. It's for you to pray on the situation, leave it with God, and don't even touch it anymore because God's already got it. And watch and see if things don't change. I'm done.
Amen. Amen, Brother Brett. Amen. Amen.
Well, we certainly should be in prayer, that's for sure, and when our enemies come against us. And that's what I use is prayer.
Amen.
And trying to show the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't say anything to those people about God going to knock them downstairs. but I did try to treat them nice and with love when they weren't treating other people that way. That was hard.
Yeah.
That was really hard. And Dr. Susie is 8:05, and we thank you. You and Brett.
Right.
And Brian had to get off earlier, but
Brother
Brett,
did you want to?
This means something to me.
Yeah, I said, this is something I really needed, you guys. And again, continue to pray, you know. And Dr. Nuss, if we could revisit this next week, and those who I've asked to pray, continue to pray for me through this week, because I want to give a report on what God has done. Because I know that if we pray
Amen.
Together, asking. That God is going to do something. I just got to believe that. So are there any other prayer requests before we go into our final close? Anybody have any prayer requests other than mine? Okay.
Pray for Brenda. Pray for
okay.
Brenda Bratton. She's working on a master's, so. It's crunch time for her. That's why she hasn't been on for a couple of weeks.
Okay. We'll definitely do that. And just to want to let you know, we won't be having Bible study next Tuesday, but we'll have Bible study the following Tuesday to finish off the month.
Amen.
But we'll be back, not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after that. So,
Amen.
Can we all go to the Lord in prayer? And I just want to say thank you to our radio listeners. You guys have been with us through the years, and we really would like to have you call in and share. And for those who come to the Bible study, who also, you know, want to make a difference, we thank the Lord for you. We have people that have been with us for a while. We have, and thanks for joining us tonight, Brian. Brian. Yeah, it's Brian in Kentucky, looks like. And so, again, I just want to remind you, Dr. Nux, thank you for talking about how we need to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And so if there's anybody on the line tonight out in radio land who's listening and you're having struggles with family or friends or loved ones and you really don't know how to respond, well, the Word of God reminds us that we need to grab that low-lying fruit and manifest that fruit so that we can be peacemakers.
Amen.
We can be people who will draw others to God. And so tonight we're asking if there's anyone there who is not on this train of salvation. You don't have that relationship with God, but you know in your heart something is missing. But you want to have a deep, intimate relationship. So I'm asking you tonight to say this prayer. Lord, I've fallen short, and I know that I'm a sinner. But, Lord, I know you died on the cross for my sins, and that if I would just believe in you and confess with my mouth that you are the Savior and that you died for my sins, that you rose again for me, and that I believe that, then tonight, right now, you can have salvation. And we ask that if you've said that prayer, you believe in your heart that Christ died and rose again for you, and that you know that if you would find a Bible-teaching church somewhere near you, you are saved. And just seek to grow in the Lord and study His Word. Feel free to join us again on every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And to know that God is constantly going to share His love with you, and that it won't be easy, as Dr. Nux was sharing with us tonight. It won't be easy, but this is a road
Amen.
That you're on that will grow sweeter as the day goes by. And the God who brought you to this place of relationship will take you the rest of the way. God's blessing
Amen.
Be with you. And we hope to meet you not next week, but the week after next.
And bring a friend.
And bring a friend, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.